Now, Havering and Brentwood Bereavement Service are a local non-profit-making registered charity which since 1989 has been offering professional and confidential counselling to adults and more recently children who are struggling to come to terms with bereavement or loss. I'm keen to find out more about the service and the charity, so I'm very pleased to welcome Lizzie Allen, the Marketing and Finance Manager of the Havering and Brentwood Bereavement Service, along with Tracy Cowling, also from the service. Welcome to you both this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello. Thanks for coming in. First of all, Lizzie, could you tell us a little about how and why the charity was set up in the first place?
Thank you. It was set up nearly 25 years ago. It was originally an arm of St Francis Hospice.
Right.
And then it became an independent charity in its own right. So up until 6 years ago, we were still working in one of the hospice's buildings, although we weren't actually officially part of them. We were still working in their buildings, and then really sort of things have grown from there.
Okay. Well, now, you know, we all know losing a loved one's never easy for any of us, but for some people, grief can take over their lives completely.
Yep.
What are some of the common signs and symptoms of people who are not coping well with bereavement?
I think there's no hard and fast rule. Grief is... Our service director, Alison Bean's, always really keen to say that, you know, grief is a natural process that we all have to go through when somebody we love dies. But what happens for some people is either because the actual bereavement itself was so traumatic or because of other issues, they get what's called complex grief.
Right.
So you kind of have your natural five stages that everybody goes through with grief. And if you were to put a very sort of crude rule of thumb on it, it generally lasts for about 3 months within adulthood, but a lot longer for children.
Okay.
Now, some people get stuck in one of those processes.
Right.
And, you know, we'll often have clients contact us and it can be years and years after the actual bereavement itself. And they'll sort of, I think a lot of people describe it in that they're stuck and they can't move forward and they can't move back.
Yeah.
And that's really when, you know, we'll sort of, we'll step in with some therapeutic intervention. But the term to use really is complex grief, when grief really overtakes somebody's life.
And I suppose it's when it's affecting someone's life after a long period of time.
Definitely. I mean, you know, when we take the calls in the office, people say, oh, you know, by now I should be, I hear that word should an awful lot. And I think, you know, there are no shoulds in grief, as there is in a lot of things in life, but there are no shoulds.
And it's different for everybody, isn't it?
Definitely. Everybody has their own unique process when it comes to grief.
Okay, so what's the demand like? Do a lot of people use your service?
Yes, a lot of people use our service. And I think probably, you know, a lot of your listeners wouldn't have actually heard of us as a charity.
No.
We're very lucky that in Brentwood, right the way out to sort of Billericay, it's actually our adult service is an NHS-funded service.
Right.
So, you know, we receive a lot of referrals from the doctors, people self-refer themselves, even from the psychiatric team, they'll refer into us as well.
Right. And so how do you actually help people? Presumably it's counselling, is it?
It is. It's one-to-one counselling. Without getting too technical, but there's lots of different types of counselling.
Yeah.
And what's very much... very sort of trendy and very government-led is something called CBT, which is cognitive behavioural therapy. And that's really quite sort of guided and structured. But for somebody who's suffering from grief, that's not the kind of intervention they need. They need what's called person-centred counselling.
Okay.
So that's the way that we work with clients. It's very much client-led. So I think some people come to see us and they maybe think that, you know, we're going to be telling them what to do, but the sessions are client led. Generally, a client will come to see us for 6 to 8 sessions, and that's one to one counselling.
Right. And how is it approached? Is it about getting people to think about what they're doing and how they're feeling, or how does it work?
I think it really depends from client to client. Okay. You can't necessarily put, I mean, what you'll often find as well is that somebody will present with a bereavement issue, yeah, and the counsellors will tell you that as they move into those sessions, they'll find that it's not necessary, it's the bereavement that's actually triggered something, yeah, for them. Yeah. So it could be sort of like quite a long-standing, deep-rooted issue,
yeah,
and the bereavement really inflames it and brings it up, or it could have been a previous bereavement that perhaps somebody's not yet come to terms with.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Or a loss of any kind of description. You know, people assume that, you know, it's a bereavement, it has to be a death, but for some people it can be a marriage breaking down, it can be, you know, loss encompasses lots of different
Absolutely,
areas.
Yeah, 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 and it affects different people in different ways. And I know when I lost my own father several years ago now,
yeah,
I've got two brothers, and we all fell out. We all started, yeah, arguing with each other, and you know, he was quite elderly when he went, and obviously it's always upsetting, but it's probably more easy to accept.
Yeah.
But I think this was a way of getting out our own grief by just beating each other up, really.
Yeah.
not literally, but yeah. Yeah, okay, lovely. All right, well, we're just coming up to Christmas, of course, which can be, mm-hmm, a difficult time for anyone who's lost a loved one. What advice can the service give to help bereaved people through these times?
I think a lot of the problem with Christmas is obviously it highlights what's actually happened,
yeah,
but it's also the expectations that people put on themselves. You know, we all see the adverts,
yeah,
and we're all looking for that idyllic perfect Christmas, you know, which is essentially one day out of the whole of the year. We put so much pressure on ourselves. I mean, Tracy's with me today. She, yep, does a lot of work on social media about this.
We're coming to Tracy in a minute.
Yeah. You know, and it's the baby steps mentality, and it's, yeah, not putting too much pressure on yourselves, because everything is going to be highlighted at Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sense of loss, that person's not at the Christmas table. And as Dave, you can in some sort of way limit your expectations,
yeah,
but not ignore what's happening. You know, Tracy put something on about Facebook. It was all about, you know, finding your way to honour that person this Christmas as well. So,
yeah,
you know, it's really about sort of acknowledging what's happening in your life.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. I think actually the run-up to Christmas is probably worse than Christmas itself.
Yeah,
it's the anticipation that it's going to be terrible and all this. But very often, from my own experience, throughout Christmas itself, it's more sort of fond memories rather than, you know, the terrible feeling of missing someone.
Yeah.
But there you go. Now, coming to Tracy, you mentioned about social media. I believe you're going to set up Christmas for the Bereaved on Twitter and Facebook. How's that going to work, Tracy?
Well, basically, what we tend to do is we get sort of supportive quotes and pictures.
Yep.
And obviously on Twitter, you get your 140 characters to just try and give people a bit of support before Christmas.
Yeah.
For them to realise that, you know, they're not alone, their feelings are unique to them, and it takes time.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, they're probably stronger than they think.
Yeah, yeah.
And they will, you know, I often think that late at night is a difficult time, mm-hmm, for people, so I try to, you know, do some late night tweets, because I think things seem very heavy at night time.
Yeah.
So I just try to, you know, help them almost get off to sleep, really.
Yeah, yeah.
To get through to the next day. Because, you know, bereavement is like that. It can be day-to-day survival sometimes, mm-hmm, you know, and it's ups and downs. And as we say, Christmas, you know, it will be a trying time. But
yeah. Well, I think that's a brilliant idea. I mean, especially for anyone left alone, then they probably don't feel so alone if they're getting sort of messages on social media, you know, that from people who understand what they're going through. Really.
Mm-hmm. That's,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be surprised the amount of people that do use it as, yeah, as a kind of support.
Yeah.
You know, I get sort of tweets back where it is helping, and that's really pleasing for me. That obviously proves that I'm doing something right.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. Now, in November 2009, you launched your children's bereavement service with the support and guidance of the national charity Grief Encounter. What led up to that, and how does it differ from your service for adults?
Yeah, it's... well, myself and my colleague, Alison Bean, who really... We joined the charity in 2008.
Right.
And what we noticed was that we were seeing two things. One, we were seeing a lot of clients, adult clients, presenting where it had been a bereavement in their childhood that they'd not actually come to terms with. And when they were experienced bereavement in adulthood,
yeah,
it was becoming the complex grief.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, we were seeing mums and dads, and sometimes grandparents, and they'd be saying, you know, is there any support for my child through this bereavement? And say Alison, who I work with, she was her training was in children's counselling. She was really, really passionate about it, and we kind of knew that we had to put something in place. Now, the National Charity Grief Encounter is run by a lovely lady called Shelley Gilbert. She's absolutely phenomenal, and she's the guru really of child grief. Or, you know, we class her as our child grief guru, and she herself was orphaned as a child. And she came in and she retrained our counsellors for us. She provided us with workbooks, lots of resources, so that we could retrain the staff that we had to go out there and do the children's work.
Yeah, yeah, excellent. Okay, so the charity itself, can you give us an idea of the scale of the charity? How many staff and volunteers have you got?
Oh, crikey. well, I think probably what I'm exceptionally proud of is over the last 5 years, we've gone from being what was classed as a Cinderella charity.
Right.
So we were literally surviving from month to month, and we could never forecast more than sort of, you know, a couple of months into the future what was happening. So we had a turnover of £25,000 a year.
Right.
And in the last 5 years, and in terms of therapeutic hours, we were probably doing, I think it was about 30 a month.
Okay.
So our last financial year, we'd done over 3,000 counselling hours across our adults and children's service, and our turnover was 170,000.
Wow.
Yeah. We went in initially when we were part of in the St Francis Hospice offices, there was myself and Alison, and we had one desk with a computer on dial-up, and Alison used to sit there with a diary on her lap, and we'd literally have to climb over each other.
Right,
to,
yeah, yeah.
And so if you look at the charity now, I'd say we've got nearly 40 volunteers and members of staff.
Brilliant. Yeah.
We've got counselling rooms now in Hornchurch, in Basildon, in Brentwood,
Vange.
We've got
Hadley
in the schools, in the Brentwood schools. We've got a contract with the schools, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
So the kids in the secondary schools can access our service.
Excellent, yeah.
So, yeah, it's really, it's a real sort of feather in the caps of the people who work there and volunteer there that the charity's in the situation it is today.
Fantastic, yeah. So what about funding? Who pays for all this?
The tricky bit.
Yeah.
Initially, when it was that sort of £25,000, it was funded by two streams. It was funded by the London Borough of Havering, and it was funded by Brentwood.
Right.
You guys in Brentwood are incredibly lucky that you've got a very, very, very good mental health commissioner.
Right.
And she's, you know, she's really aggressive in making sure that the residents get the quality service that they need, and that's all areas
right.
of sort of mental health spectrum. So for you guys in Brentwood, out to Billericay, there's NHS funding for adults. In Havering, unfortunately, there's nothing.
Right.
So we do offer counselling there at a reduced rate. We've been incredibly lucky that we've secured grant from Children in Need, which helped us set up our children's
super.
Service.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been brilliant supporters of us.
Right.
We do fundraising. We've got sort of six different income streams.
Right, okay, and you've done some fundraising yourself. What's this about the Brentwood Half Marathon then? You're a bit of a runner, are you?
Well, I wasn't a runner.
Okay.
When we started the children's service back in 2009, we had a donation from a member of the public, and we'd held a golf day. And unfortunately, what we anticipated, the amount of children we anticipated we'd see, was the number was far greater. We really did open Pandora's box with the children's service.
Right.
And so obviously we went through that money fairly quickly, and we were all sitting around in the office scratching our heads. And I suppose the thing was, the most unlikely thing for me to do at the time was to run. So I knew if I was going to get people to sponsor me, I had to be for something fairly big. So yes, I signed up for the Brentwood Half Marathon.
Right.
And really became a bit, got the running bug then after that. So
excellent.
I did it that year, and I did it the following year as well, right, for the charity.
How about you, Tracy? Are you going to have a run in the Brentwood Half Marathon?
Well, I did do the fun run last year. But,
Tracy was number one in our women, ooh, in our, yeah, women's category.
Ooh. Trust me, it wasn't tough competition. But yeah, dodgy knees, you know, can't run that well. Oh, but I would have liked to otherwise, yeah, but we'll find something else I can do.
I'm sure.
Parachute jump. Something like that.
Okay, so you rely on sort of local fundraising and,
definitely,
volunteers a lot.
Yeah.
What are your main needs at the moment as a charity?
I mean, we're all charities. It's fundraising. We need, yeah, the community to be aware of us. Two reasons. One, obviously, so that the public can actually refer into us when they need our support.
Yep.
But also to raise monies. You know, our children's service, whilst we get money from children in need, that will be coming to an end fairly soon. We're constantly, like all charities, plugging financial gaps. I mean, we started the year with a financial shortfall of £35,000, which was a little bit intimidating.
Yes, yeah.
So next big event for us is going to be the Brentwood Half Marathon.
Okay.
We're really lucky that Rotary, we're one of their full charity partners, so it actually sold out last weekend, so people can only apply for the Brentwood Half Marathon now via charity entries.
Okay.
So when they click on the website, they will go through to us and three other charities, St Francis Hospice, Little Havens and SNAP, all really good local charities.
Yep.
And for us, it's become really our flagship event of the year.
Yeah, fantastic.
We've gone from having me 4 years ago running it on my own to last year, was it 39 people running it for us?
Wow.
So,
oh,
yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
excellent.
Really good.
All right, superb. Well, now, if anybody needs a bit of support, how can they contact you?
Right, if they go through to our website, so that's www.hbbscounselling.org, all the information is on there.
Right.
People don't have to have a GP referral, they can just pick up the phone themselves and talk to us.
Yep.
And they can refer in that way.
Okay, lovely. You've also got a phone number if people want to contact you, don't you?
Yep.
I've got it here. It's 01708 476 912.
That's right.
What I do, I'll put all those details up on the Phoenix FM website.
Definitely.
Later on, so if anyone listening has missed that, just check out my show page 123 later on today. Well, I think you do some fantastic work.
Thank
there
you.
Well done to you. Good luck in the Brentwood Half Marathon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Tracy Cowling and Lizzie Allen from Haveringham Brentwood Bereavement Service, thanks for coming into Phoenix today and telling us all about it.
Thank you
thank
for having
you.
Us
thanks. Yeah, thank you very
thank
much
you.
Phoenix FM.